It's found in Proverbs, I believe 29. If we can get it on the screen, if not, we'll just go there. All right. Proverbs 29, verse 9. Let us stand for the reading of the word. What a glorious day. Amen. Hallelujah. You excited about today?
Amen.
Yeah, anybody got some giddy up in your step already?
Amen.
Ready to run on and see what the end will be? There's one verse, Proverbs 29, verse 9. Let us read together. If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, there is no peace. Let's read that one more time. If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, there is no peace. I want you to think about that. As if you're contending with somebody like that, you still ain't gonna have no peace. Because you're on two different playing grounds. You're on two different fields. You're in two different perspectives. You're not gonna see things the same way. It's like oil and water. Darkness and light. It's all of that. They're totally contrary. So if you're a wise man, that's why wise folk ain't always talking. I mean, especially when they're talking to someone who may be of that persuasion. I'm talking on that right there. I didn't write it. Glory to God. We have a few scriptures that I want to read today. And we're going to start off in Matthew 23, and I'll just read verse 27 and 28, and then we'll go to John chapter 5, verses 37 through 40. Matthew 23, verses 27 and 28. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. I'm going to be somewhat light today, so it ain't going to hit you so hard, and focus on that as deeply as you might think. And the Father himself, John 5, 37 through 39, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Amen. Just reflecting on that, and especially verse 39 of John chapter 5, we want to talk about this, and I want you to repeat it after me. Lord, make my doing
match my knowing.
Say it again. Lord,
make my doing
match my knowing. Praise God. Thank you, Lord God, for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to stand here before you and your people. We pray, God, that you will have your way in this house and with us all, Lord God. And we pray your will be done in each and every one of us, God, that there be nothing lacking, oh God, in our lives, that you will search down into the depths of who we are, oh God, and reveal to us just who we are and where we are. It is our prayer, God, that you do what you desire to do here today in this place. And we love you with our whole heart, mind, and soul. And we do bless you this afternoon, God, for you are everything to us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I was telling the guys in the back a little bit about how some of this was coming to me, but I like to spend time out working in the yard. Because it's kind of like a God time for me. Even grocery shopping, going to the grocery store, and even to the clothing stores, because I'm typically going to do it by myself. And And because I'm by myself, it gives me a lot of opportunity to just have time with God. And while I was out talking with God, he kind of started talking to me about some things. Yesterday morning, especially before we went to Fun Day in the Park. And he talked to me about how there are times that, you know, people who claim to love him, well, we tend to go and, I guess, press in to try to know everything we can know about anything. But it doesn't always translate over to actual action in accomplishing what he has given us to do. There is a somewhat of a perversion to know and not to do. And that's what God is challenging us on today. Because God is always looking to take us to the higher place in him. It is of God's character to continue to grow people and to mature people, to strengthen them. Just as he does with anything of what his creation is the idea is that it starts to go up and grow or mature. It is never God's intention that when he comes into your world and arrests you and intervene or interfere in your domain, that you stay the same as when he first encountered you, or I should say you encountered him. God is always looking to transition you from where you were to what he wants you to be. And knowledge is a good thing in one sense, but knowledge that has no desire to accomplish what God wants to be done is not doing anybody any good. It's just information. You know how it is in life. Sometimes you can know everything, and that person can tell you everything about everything, but won't do anything. And because of that, God is addressing that to bring a correction at times in all of our lives, at times where we sometimes getting consumed with our own self-interest and letting us know you ain't nothing apart from him. Amen. And that's each and every one of us. Amen. Apart from God, we are absolutely nothing. You may think you know enough and know it all, but if you don't have a real true relationship that with the Lord that translate into actions that really speak in regards to your faith and trust and belief in him, you're missing the mark. We're really missing the mark when we do that. Thank God he does love us. Amen. Thank God that he does extend grace and mercy to us. Amen. And that's the beauty of what the gospel message has done for us. But he still don't want us to live this life in a subpar manner. He wants us to move higher in him, because he can get more done with us when we are doing what he says than just us knowing information. Amen. You know, we say in one of the passages in the scripture, you say, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So when you consider that, that you will know the truth and the truth will make you free, then that means to us that there ought to be some level of intimacy in the knowing. It's not just something that it just resides up in the head and it never moves down into the depths of who we are, into our heart. We shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. It also tells me as well that there's the possibility of knowing information that has no regard to truth. And that does not profit us, nor do we gain or benefit. There is no being released from bondage. There's no release from chains and captivity. Because if you know the truth will make you free. But the truth that we need to know is the truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Anything else and all this other stuff that is going on and becoming commonplace today is not going to do anything for us at all. People are fighting about what they know, and they're not willing to do what God told them to do. And we're going to deal with some of these things today throughout this, and we're going to walk through it so that we can get on the right page. Amen? Amen. We are to experience the true knowledge of God that will begin to open up new spiritual realities for us. And it helps us because it will seek, it's kind of like a heat-seeking missile to get into the depths of who we are, And it ought to be in your mindset when you're praying that you're asking God to show you you.
Amen.
You want to know you. See, we spend a lot of time trying to ask God to show us our enemies. Your enemies are all over the place. You ain't ever got to worry about that. They all over the place. The question is, do you know what to do once you know who your enemy is?
Yeah.
You've heard word enough to show you, but then you don't necessarily walk that out. Because too many times people are intimidated and fearful of dealing with somebody who is their enemy. They don't even know how to pray for their enemy. You start praying for your enemy, God moves on your behalf. And he'll make your enemy your footstool. Oftentimes you're trying to know who your enemy is so you can deal with them in your flesh. And in your flesh, you will not accomplish what you intended to accomplish because you have gotten outside of what God's intention was for your life in the first place. Our doing needs to match our knowing of the truth of God's word. If our doing doesn't match our knowing, we become like a Pharisee when he said whitewashed tombs. And dead men, dead things inside of us. It's the image of looking a certain way on the outside, while on the inside it's dead men's bones. It looks good, and we have the inclination to try to help. Cause other people to think we got it going on by what we know. But the doing ain't matching up. And if the doing ain't matching up, then God sees you in a different light. Because you're not representing him to someone else. How many of you know we ought to represent him truly all the days of our lives? Which means that we got to deny ourselves and crucify this flesh. The flesh is weak and the spirit is willing. The flesh wants to continue to rise up and take dominion over things, over your life and over everybody else's. But it's the Spirit of God working through you that will help you become all that God wants you to be to carry out his objectives here in this earth realm. A lot of times people talk a good talk, but their walk is suffering because their doing ain't matching up with their knowing. Which means there's a disconnect when your doing don't match up with your knowing. You know how it is to raise a child and they know better, but they won't do what they know. We got to get our doing to line up with our knowing.
Amen.
Think about these Pharisees and I know Pharisees and Sadducees existed and scribes and Herodians and all these others. But the gospel referred often to the Sadducees and Pharisees. Jesus was in constant conflict with them, actually. It always seemed to be something going on. Here you are, the Lord God Almighty, and you got always in opposition with these groups. It's like, what is going on with these groups that is always causing to be conflict with the Lord God Almighty? Somebody in here could even be challenged with God right now. And you're indifferent towards God because you don't like the way God do stuff. And then you want to place on God that don't belong to God, but it actually should be attributed to the devil or your flesh. But you got an issue with God. And man struggles with trying to get this thing right. Because they refuse to relinquish this flesh nature. You need to be God conscious. You need to get away from that sin conscious mindset.
Yes.
When you're God conscious, you begin to experience God in a whole new way for your own personal lives. And you impact other people's lives because they're encountering the Jesus in you.
Yes.
As you're demonstrating Christ everywhere you go. This love of Christ ought to be reflected through everything you deal with. See, we hear it. We put on the screens here. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 8a. Ended in that part that said love never fails. We know all about what love is and what love is supposed to be like. But we are challenged when we are confronted with someone that doesn't seem to favor us in a situation. If it doesn't work the way we want it to work, we have art with them. And then we don't want to even give up that art. We want to hold on to stuff that God already told you to let go and let God have his way. You want to hold on because you're dealing with some issues of your heart. It's the heart, the cardia. We get the word cardiac from. Dealing with, like, if you had a cardiac arrest, then your heart was in trouble. Some of your hearts become traumatized and you're in cardiac arrest because your heart is missing a beat. There's some things that's lacking. It's not clean hands and a pure heart. How you relate to folk will reveal the depths of your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The stuff you say and the things you do, it is revelatory of what's happening on the inside. And these Pharisees was indicative of, they had a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. They were consumed by the letter of the law, but they could not understand the spirit of the letter because their heart was far from him. So it is possible to be in the body or be in the building in the house of prayer. And everybody in the house of prayer heart ain't necessarily being conditioned towards the things of God because they've been dominated and consumed by their flesh. They're self-absorbed and they're self-consumed and self-indulged, and everything is about them, and everybody else is excluded from their arena because if you don't fit into my program, then I don't have need of you. It's only what I want is when you really matter to me. Otherwise, you are insignificant to me, and I show disdain for you. You have folk, they still got issues with the Lord because they got issues with themselves. See, you know how it is when you're raised up in a household, when you get a disciplined and chastised, and you ain't really thinking a whole lot about it after that. You going out and play somewhere when you were a child. You just went on about your business, but for the heart that was really messed up, you start constructing and devising strategies and schemes of some kind of way you're going to get somebody. It's almost like being an alien in another world. Are you really your mother and your father's children? Even more so now, let's ask the question, for the saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, are you really who you say you are? Or are you just somebody that's perpetrating? They're at odds with God. They would search the scripture for any they thought they had eternal life, but they would not perceive, they could not perceive and pursue the one who came that they may have the life. And he was right there in the midst of them, and they could not translate what they studied in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, trying to get knowledge about the one that's coming, and the one that was coming already showed up. And they couldn't get, they could not experience, they could not understand that he was right there. So it's possible to have knowledge and information and miss Christ all day long. They were legalistic. It's funny how sometimes we can know so much and become legalistic. I see what goes on YouTube, and I see what goes on Facebook with people. They are the most legalistic folk in the world. Now, they're going to tell you everything wrong about you because they're so deep and knowledgeable of the truths of God. But in all of that, they have no gentleness, no kindness, no self-control, no long-suffering. They have no peace, no joy. They have no power. They absolutely lack all power. They can't control their own tongue and their own mouth. They get consumed with useless wranglings when the word told you don't be consumed by those things. They want to argue for argument's sake because they're so special and deep. They got it all figured out, but they know nothing.
My Lord. Come on, pal. My Lord.
When you have a relationship with God, you're not going to get consumed with legalistic rituals and rules and stuff. You're following God whatever he tells you. You're building a relationship with the Most High God. Again, some folk are searching scripture so they can figure out how to get you. Right? Now, that exposes an intention of the heart, which means that the heart, the cardia, is lacking. Something is missing. It's missing a beat. It's pounding, but it ain't pounding accurately. Amen. Question. Does Jesus show up in you when things are not in your favor or your advantage? When you encounter someone that's indifferent to you, who shows up as the counter to what has now been given towards you? Who shows up? Is it the Jesus in me? Or is it the devil in you? Who's showing up? Who's showing up when something is not in your favor or your advantage? Because see, I'm telling you, a lot of folk, they so deep and special, and they got it all figured out. But all they want to do is out of their knowledge, and it's in the laps up in the recesses of their head, they want to give you a piece of their mind and won't give you Jesus. But I'm a follower of Jesus. And matter of fact, they get so excited about giving you a piece of their mind. The last thing they consider is, does this please God? You're in a bad place when you're dealing with contrary folk and the first thing you do is move by flesh. They don't find Jesus when you're doing that. They don't see light. They don't experience truth when you're doing that. But there is this situation where people believe that if ain't nobody else around, it's okay. It's okay to do what you want. It's okay to be nasty and dirty and foul. It's okay. Like God don't know anything. Like God don't see anything. Like God don't know who you are for real. You're not getting by from the eyes of God when you're doing secret closet nasty stuff, indifferent towards people, tripping out on folk like everybody else don't know. Where you come, your whitewashed tomb, dead men's bones. Yes, sir. You look good on the outside. You sound everything. Everything sounds right when you're dealing with certain folk. But we don't want to do it the way God say do it. As your daughter Jackie would say, that's just trifling. That's trifling. Spend time, as old songs say, sweep around your own front door. Before you try sweeping around mine and anybody else's, why don't you spend time getting your stuff together? Get your act together. Let God be God, and you do what God told you to do, and quit worrying about being in the lane that God runs in. You're trying to do God's work, and you're doing your work. Too many folk feel better by making you feel low. They get a rush in making you feel bad because they feel bad. They want you to feel bad. You know how it is. Hurting folk want to hurt other folk, but they got all the insight. They got all the knowledge. They got it all figured out. They got it going on and on and on, and you can't tell them nothing. We're supposed to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. What's an ambassador? It's an official envoy, especially a diplomatic agent, watch this, of the highest rank, accredited to a foreign government or sovereign as the resident representative of his or her government or sovereign or appointed for a special and often temporary diplomatic assignment. In essence, we are chosen of God, a royal
priesthood, a holy nation. We are seated in heavenly places, that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. We come as an agent of God to come intervene in this world so that God will be known to this world to bring somebody out of darkness into marvelous light.
Amen.
This is who we are. We can't forget who we are. We can't just acquire knowledge, but we have no action that corresponds to what we say we believe. Faith without works is dead. James 2, 14 to 26. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Verse 15. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working with his, working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith without works is dead also. To have information and knowledge and you have no corresponding action to what you say you believe and the one you say you believe in, you got a missed beat in your heart. Something is not clicking. So there should be corresponding action to what you say you believe. Somebody, y'all repeat after me. Lord,
Lord,
make my doing
match my knowing.
Say it again. Lord,
make my doing
match my knowing. Now, you may not realize it, but you're in prayer right now.
Amen.
And this whole message is that's what it's about. We need to get into the depths of the reality of who we are in Him. And we need to ask God, Lord, make my doing match my knowing. If you have given me insight, revelation, and illuminated scripture to me, God, let me take what I know and then to practice it so that you'll be glorified and someone else's life will be changed.
Yeah.
Lord, make my doing match my knowing. If God says forgive and you say that you love God, then by faith we should receive this word.
Amen.
And then apply it to the matter at hand.
Amen.
Faith without works is dead.
Amen.
So the Bible says if you love God, then he says, then keep my commandments. And one of the versions say, if you love God, then do what I say.
Yes.
He said, do what I told you. He didn't just say, know what I wrote in the word. He said, take what I told you and then carry it out and do it.
Yeah.
Do what you know. Exercise your faith and walk it out.
Yeah.
We were talking about the letter of the law, the spirit of the letter, because sometimes people got that thing so down. They got the letter. And typically, I'm telling you, they take that to try to get you and to make you less of who God called you to be. The letter of the law versus spirit of the law is an idiomatic, which idiomatic being expressions that are natural to those who are the native speaker. It's an antithesis between the two. When one obeys the letter of the law, but not the spirit, one is obeying the literal interpretation of the word of the letter of the law, but not necessarily the intention or the intent of those who wrote the law. So I'm not going to read all these passages, but I want to read a little bit through Matthew 5, 20 through 48. I'm just going to read verse 20 here. It says, Matthew 5 and 20 says, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Their righteousness was all about that letter. It was legalistic. He said, that ain't going to get it. You need to know what my intentions are and what I put there and what I wrote. You need to know the depths and the meaning of really of what I'm talking about. Amen. You need to be about loving God and loving thy neighbor as thyself for real. See, we can perpetrate and cause people to believe we have their best interest while all along we got our tongue on them all day long. I know ain't nobody in New Direction has ever been that way. Amen. Saying stuff about folk that you ain't got no business saying. Amen. Don't have your heart towards God and then your heart towards them for the best interest for their lives. That when you dealing with certain situations and you need to say, you know what, we need to pray about that. Amen. The folk don't want to pray about stuff that they get excited about somebody else's shortcomings. But we want everybody to pray for us. You see, some don't compute. It's a disconnect. It's not connecting. God is challenging us today. Amen. He's challenging each and every person in this building. Because we love to be challenged by God so we can become the best of who we call to be in God. Amen. It ain't about, see, the prideful man is having a problem and a conniption right now. They're having a fit sitting in the seat listening to what is being stated right now. Do we really need to hear all of this? Is this really all necessary? Why I need to hear about all of this? Well, you need to hear about it because God is trying to deal with you and your pride and your flesh. And the thing is, it ain't to get you. It's to help you become greater. Amen. That's all it is. Amen. It's to help you become the greatest you can be possibly in him. Amen. But for the prideful mind and heart, they struggle when something challenges something. Because see, the truth of the matter is, while I'm talking, there's something talking in your head too. And tell me I'm lying. There's something talking in your head too. Some of you know what I'm talking about. There's some of you got another spirit talking right now. You know, back in the day, there were people, there were Gnostics, and Gnosticism was a type of religion, and the chief identifying characteristics of Gnosticism was that the name itself suggests the idea that salvation is primarily a matter of acquiring esoteric knowledge. Amen? It is a form of enlightenment. So the idea of knowing was the idea of being enlightened to reach a certain place, and that was where your salvation resided. They felt that they were the elite. By assuring his followers that they are especially enlightened people, Gnosticism panders to human pride. There is a spirit type of Gnosticism that prevails in our society today, and oftentimes even in the body of Christ or the church or the houses of God, I should say, that there are people who are so consumed with elitism and all of this stuff because what they know makes them feel so much better at the expense of everybody else. The appeal of being part of an elite must not be underestimated. You've seen how there are different cliques and groups and schools and societies, Freemasons and people who love to hang up on those, get caught up and consumed by those things and have these certain elite folk around them. And still they're teaching salvation is of a secret knowledge. They throw their nose down on children of the Most High God. See, everybody who claims to be of God ain't of God. Yeah. And so they try to make you look foolish because they are elite. They have been set apart and established outside of the church itself, thinking they are in the church. because they refuse to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of life. Like I said, there are people now who have gotten into the place where the Lord ain't really about much anymore. Matter of fact, some people think he's fake and phony too. And because they argue well and have persuasive arguments and they talk loudly, they try to convince people that you should agree with me in denouncing and renouncing Christ himself. Oh, folk are getting lost. They're walking away from their first love. Oh, yes, they are. Because they bamboozled and hoodwinked into believing in the foolishness of what the enemy has been presenting to them. So they have information, they have certain kind of knowledge, and what they do is they'll take knowledge and they will twist the knowledge and then make it seem like it sounds so good and sounds so right. They misinterpret everything that they read, and they're looking for a gullible partner so they can roll up on that person. And what they try to do is develop a group to follow them. See, Paul would say, follow me as I follow Christ. They just say, follow me. they're looking for their own little fiefdom or kingdom so that they can utilize other people for their own glory and gain and benefit. And they're looking for gullible people that are caught up into areas that they do not even understand. You know, people get consumed by pride and they want something else that they ain't got. We're not realizing that God is a supplier of every need. And if you really need it, God will supply it. See, everything that you want ain't a need, and everything you want ain't of God. But you're looking for God to fix you up and take care of you because you need another sugar daddy. And God ain't never going to be your sugar daddy. And because he don't move at the beat that you think he should move, you got an issue with God, and then you have the audacity to tell other folk, I don't really think God is who he say he is. Like God don't know you saying it. Because you ain't saying it in here, you saying it out there. See, don't think God ain't talking. You won't say it in here. You'll say it out there. How many of you ever heard the saying, when you know better, you do better? Repeat after me. Lord, make my doing match my knowing. Say it again. Lord, make my doing match my knowing. I know that I am the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and I need to exemplify that in all areas of my life. Lord, make my doing match my knowing. Lord, help me to know, God, that your word says we walk by faith and not by sight. So when things don't look favorable and things get a little bit twisted, Lord, I believe that you are a way maker and you keep on making a way even when it looks like there is no way out. Because God, you are the God that can deliver and set us free. Set us free from whatever exists. Whatever we encounter, even from our enemies, even from trouble that stirs up around us, God is an agent that will free you. He's the God that will free you from everything that you need to be freed from if you trust and believe him. But you know how man does. He don't move the minute he wants it, so we dismiss him. Man, if you ain't going to do it the way I want, now you're really tripping. Folk go around trying to pimp God. And they're trying to play God. And they are dismissive of God. And they want you to agree with what they're saying. Because they don't really trust God to do what God can do. So if God, again, doesn't answer your situation the day you want it, is that a reason to trip out on God? Never. It's never. Then you got to ask yourself, am I doing what God told me to do in the first place? Sometimes God will withhold some stuff from you because you ain't doing what God told you to do in the first place. You'd rather be way down the road and forget about the part that he's saying, do this piece right now. It's the now part. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now we need to experience and walk in faith. Now we need to get this thing right. Not tomorrow. Not looking down for an out. Let's look at some traits and actions of those who are in the know and the reasons for them having a greater emphasis on knowing than doing. Oftentimes, the knowing more so than doing would look like making excuses. It is an attempt to lessen the blame attaching to a fault or offense. It is to seek to defend or justify. Now, this is Pastor Si's definition. It is unwillingness to take responsibility for what one does and or what one does not do. When they know to do better or different, they do the contrary. And they'll spend days making a lot of excuses. Let's look at exceptionalism. The counter to the idea inferiority or inferiority complex is what I called it. Exceptionalism originates from pride. It stems from the idea that I am better than you, or you are not as deep or knowledgeable regarding whatever subject matter in consideration. This is the type of person that tends to compare themselves with another. It is the person who has an underlying sense of feeling of superiority or the avoidance of inferiority. So either they feel superior or they try to avoid feeling inferior. And so they start projecting the idea or the air of exceptionalism onto other folk so that they might believe that they really got it going on and got it all figured out. Let's look at the third one. A counter for insecurity is what sometimes this whole idea of knowing is about and not necessarily doing. Because of my insecurities, I use knowledge as a diversion to keep people from knowing how insecure I am. However, this approach to life never transfers over into the learning to walk it out or and to do what I know to be right. The reason for this is due to approaching matters with an unclean heart, are impure or wrong motives, which causes people to say one thing and then do another thing. The head and the heart does not agree. If the two were to come together in agreement, then the actions of what is known will begin to actually follow. In essence, I'm saying if our head and our heart come into alignment and agree with the things of God and the word of God, then we start carrying out what we know to be. And our doing starts matching our knowing. Yeah. Without that being in alignment where our heart and our head or our mind agree, we're always missing the mark because typically we're going to have impure thoughts, impure motives, wrong motives, and so forth. Because we're insecure about matters concerning our own world. If that is the platform you launch from, God wants to rip that out as a foundation and put you on a solid rock, which is the foundation of Jesus Christ. You don't ever tell me that God can't change a person. Because God has the power to do whatever he wants to do. Now, he also wants you to come into agreement with him. And most of the time, the reason we are suffering and hemorrhaging is because we won't agree with God. We get into ourselves because we have such consumed ourselves with self-interest that we ain't heard none of his interest. Yeah. Because see, we attack matters based off of our interest and not his interest. Yeah. When I deal with and encounter situations that are not favorable to me, am I speaking on behalf of the God as a mouthpiece for God, or am I speaking on my behalf or the devil's behalf? You have to analyze yourself. Why you do what you do? What's moving in you so deeply that causes you to reject the things of God, and you know the information, but your actual action does not connect to what you know? Pray that God strengthen us to never be consumed again by ungodly characteristics of the last days, which is 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. Now, I'm going to have to do this real fast so y'all bear with me because I speak, sometimes I'll read and I'll read real fast. So you may want to write that down, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. Don't be naive. This is the MSG, this is the Message Bible. Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. At the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money hungry, self-promoting, stuck up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderous, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust and allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they are animals. Stay clear of these people. These are the kind of people who smooth talk themselves into the homes of unstable and needy women and take advantage of them. Women who, depressed by their sinfulness, take up with every new religious fad that calls itself truth. And I've seen it happening, that everybody want to run to the next new thing on the block, which is ain't nothing but some trumped up stuff that has been redone again and being presented in a different package. That stuff that we study in Christian history, it's the same old, being recycled over and over, and they have the audacity to think that they got something new. Maybe you should study Christian history and you'll find out the same characteristics and traits was the same stuff that was happening back then. All these deep folk, woke folk, they get exploited every time and never really learn. These men are like those old Egyptian frauds, Jannes and Jambres, who challenged Moses. You know, they were like little magicians. They were rejects from the faith, twisted in their thinking. Now, there's some people that you deal with are really rejects of the faith, because they ain't trying to do nothing that God said do. Define truth itself, but nothing would come of these latest imposters. Everyone would begin to see through them, just as people saw through that Egyptian hoax. When Paul says last days, he is referring to the period of time between Christ's ascension and his return. Amen? And so that's where it comes in. He's talking about the second coming. Times mean seasons or time period. So the idea is that during the church age, there will be various times and some more times that are more intense than others, where the church will face intense opposition. Paul describes it in detail, the kind of evil men who instigate such opposition against the church. You begin to see them creeping, and they're creeping around trying to get folk to get outside of the church. They don't want people to really be in the church. They don't want really people to be followers of Christ. They, again, I say it to you, they want you to be a follower of them, but they won't follow Christ. So all they do is denounce everything that come down to the word. They'll denounce the whole New Testament. They just get it. Let's dismiss that. If they could, and then they want to inject every other book, but they won't even deal with that book. They want to go to the Apocrypha and bring all of that, but they won't deal with this. I never seen so much foolishness. You want to read some other stuff, but you can't even get this part figured out. If we know, we just ain't doing it. I'm going to cut this short for the sake of those who have a struggle dealing with time. They talk a good talk, they put on a good front, but in their motives, their thought lives and their personal relationships are really twisted. They're not where they are and they're not who they think they are. Oh, by the way, repeat after me. Lord, make my doing. Match my knowing. Say it again. Lord, make my doing. Match my knowing. And we need to know the truth. And it's the truth that we know will make us free. Folk want to be free. But there are some other kinds of knowledge out there that ain't got nothing to do with your freedom. Matter of fact, it is designed to keep you more in bondage. You got to be careful of that. I'm skipping y'all. Pages now. All right. I want to make sure that you get what you need. Salvation must be experienced. The word should saturate our personalities. Did y'all hear what I just said? The word of God, the Bible itself, should saturate our personalities. The Holy Spirit wants to convert the words of Scripture into transformed personalities. Head knowledge without heart knowledge is worse than useless. But when head and heart join forces, it changes our lives forever. Self-salvation through good works may produce a great deal of moral behavior in your life, but inside you are miserable.
You're always comparing yourself to other people, and you're never sure if you're good enough. You can never therefore deal with your, and this is something I want to, this is by Tim Keller, by the way, that I'm speaking of right now. You cannot therefore deal with your hideousness and self-absorption through the moral law by trying to be a good person through an act of the will. You need a complete transformation of the very motives of your heart. So again, when you hear about Jesus, what is coming to mind? What is coming to mind when you encounter people that doesn't favor you? Are you thinking about him? Is it head knowledge or is it heart knowledge? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. Amen. So would you say, if the question was posed, do you know Jesus in your head or in your heart? We can fill our heads up with all kind of information and knowledge. We can do that all day long, from searching the internet to reading books, studying books. We can watch TV, listen to music. We can do all these things, even having conversation with other folk. But we need to think about what information is going into our head. Amen. If the information, is it conducive for a healthy atmosphere for spiritual activity from above that comes from God Almighty? Or is that stuff that we're doing actually is adverse to the things of God, and it attracts as a magnetic effect the things of the enemy? What is actually going on inside of us at times? Are we attracting more negative type evil spirit stuff? Are we attracting the spirit of the things of God, and that those are the things that are dominating your life experience? Heart knowledge. You can literally take some honey and everybody can tell you how sweet it is. But it's only head knowledge. It's only when you take it of yourself and then you experience the sweetness or not. For man not to encounter God, oftentimes folk just got head knowledge. It is until you have an encounter with the reality of who he is where that becomes heart knowledge. Amen? I'm almost done, guys. I hear the babies crying. I wasn't talking about physically. Some of y'all get that on the way home. I hear the babies crying. We need to think about the fact that our approach to God and how we deal with life should be an overflow of our gratitude of how he loved us. And he loved us first. That's how we learn to love him in return. So when you deal with other people, it's going to reveal the depth of gratitude you have towards God. Because even in that contrary approach to you, you can learn to love them in spite of them. That's when the rubber meets the road and your doing start matching up with your knowing. Amen. See, anybody, the weakest of individual can give you just what was given to you, but it takes a greater, stronger person to give you God, give that person God when they did you wrong. See, everybody's deep, but everybody ain't got it going on for real. Because the only what you do for Christ will last. You can have all the insights you want, but if you don't really show that up and show it to people and live for him, you missed it. I want to say this last area here. We need to pray for a revelation of the intents of our heart. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. And the writer says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And what that revealed to me is this. This person realizes that he had to be humble first. It lets you know that you cannot do any of this stuff without humility. And then it tells me he had a desire to know and understand himself. He wanted to know the depths and all the little intricate things and the things that were hidden and the things that were secret. He wanted to really understand really how God sees him. And because he's seeking out to have God show him himself, then he gets into the position of another reality where he's on a launch pad as a rocket ship going into higher places than ever could be achieved otherwise. This person also has a desire to live for the Lord because they're saying, I don't want to just be doing this thing in my own strength, power, getting my own self, because of my own selfish gain. I'm not trying to make people believe I got it going on and I'm all special and I'm all deep, that I am the elite of the elite. I am the best of the best. I'm the greatest of the greatest. I am everything that you're looking for. Some of you are dealing with women of God. You're dealing with some men who already got that in your head now. And I tell you what, a women of God, just so you know, if you really want a bad boy, you get a bad boy sold out to Christ for real. That's a bad boy. Because he's going to always love you as Christ loved the church. He ain't all consumed with his own self-interest. See, that's a bad boy. He's considering you. He's looking to elevate you, to enrich you with good things and to bless you over and abundantly above all that you can imagine. That's a bad boy. You want a bad boy. You don't want just any boy. You want a bad boy, a real boy, a real man of God. That's what you want. A man that will be responsible to you and the children and everybody else. A man that will handle his business every day. They ain't looking for an escape. They ain't looking for escape clauses. They ain't trying to put everything on you as the reason. See, the reality of it is when I look at Sister Yola ought to be a beneficiary of the love of Christ working through me. And that's where the rubber meets the road. That my doing match my knowing. That's what this is about. We ain't got to see eye to eye on anything, but I sure ain't twisted about it. Come on, somebody. We ain't got to have no knockdown and drag outs. I ain't got to cuss nobody out. I ain't got to do that. Why I need to cuss somebody out? It will only expose how weak I am if I do. Watch that, y'all. Watch that. Then that goes both ways. It's like you don't have the right words to say, and all you got is cuss words that ain't never exemplifying the godliness that's supposed to be residing inside of you. You cussing folk out. You cussing the one out that you say you love. And what you do to the least of them, you did it to him, but you didn't know that. Because you know, but you didn't know. You know, but you didn't do. See, some of you are not going to be starting to deal with your tongue now. And you ought to ask God, search me, God, because my tongue has been unleashed and unchained, and I got a foul mouth. But don't nobody in the church know about it. Except the one I'm with and the children that run around there to hear me cussing everybody out. Don't think God don't know. This person said, this person wants to have They love correction. They love correction. This person in Psalm 139 is like, look, I need to get my stuff together. I need to quit tripping. I need to quit lying to myself and other folk too. As long as you spend your time lying to other folk and lying to God, and the worst is lying to yourself, you ain't ever coming out. You'll never get where God wants you to go. Because you'll never deal with yourself truly. You'll spend the rest of the days of your life making excuses. The rest of the days. That's why you won't have no peace. You won't have no joy. Y'all understand that you can't have peace and joy when you are contrary to the Spirit of God? Neither can happen. It ain't gonna happen.
I'm going to say it again. It ain't going to happen. Folk can't sleep at night. You can't get no rest. You go to your job and you acting up and cutting up. You go to school acting up and cutting up. You go to church acting up and cutting up. You go to the park acting up and cutting up. You go to the grocery store and the gas station acting up and cutting up. You ain't got no peace, no joy. Because you won't line up. And it looks like everything that come your way is always opposed to you. How is that? Really? You telling me that all your life is supposed to be is a magnet for devils to always be on you? That's something missing. See, when you get that devil up off of you, that devil running somewhere else most of the time. He just coming back for another opportunity that he can roll up on you. And he might be gone for a season. Some of you never get past the place of the devil messing with you. What? Really? Is that all you're concerned about? That's devil consciousness to me. It's your whole focus. You ain't even thinking about what God is doing. You only thinking about what the devil doing. The devil gonna get me. The devil gonna get me. But you said it out your mouth. The devil consciousness. All you talk about is the devil. Talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
See what it looks like.
Yeah.
Promote him.
Yeah.
Worship him.
Yeah.
Praise him.
Yeah.
See what it looks like when you promote him.
Yeah.
That out of your mouth you get a lot of Jesus. Every time somebody encounter you, they find Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. It ain't about all this woe is me and this and this and this and this and all this other stuff. Talk about the Lord, what he's done for you lately.
Yeah.
If he woke you up this morning, didn't he do that too? You could have been in your grave. You could have been in the hospital. You could have been dead and gone. But God said, no, devil, they still here and they still got work to do. Let's talk about the Lord. Been too much devil talk. Act like the devil got all the power. The devil ain't got all that power.
No.
Devil got power that you give him.
Yes,
just because he show up don't mean he run nothing. That's like telling me folk roll up in your house and they're going to take over your house for real.
No.
If you let that happen, that's on you.
Already.
You roll up at 1818 and see what happened. The devil is a lie. The folk get cold busted. How you like me now? Oh, bless God. We serve a great God. Amen. I can't praise him enough. I can't serve him enough. When I think about all he's done for me, my soul cry out and shouts hallelujah. Just think about it. Count your blessings one by one. Name them one by one. Just start counting them up and see what the Lord has done. Count them up. Write them down.
Bless God.
Hallelujah. Make your last time.
Lord,
make my doing match my knowing.
Lord,
make my doing match my knowing. See, you've been praying today. And I believe God is looking at what you've been praying. Now, if you were really sincere in your heart, God would start dealing with you in that area, those areas of your life. And he'll help your doing match your knowing. But we know. Most folk know. Most folk know what they should be doing. They may not have all the answers to every detail of life, but they know they shouldn't be rolling up on folk and trying to fight folk and cussing folk out and lying on folk and gossiping. They know. He just ain't doing.
Yeah.
It's time to do what you know.
Amen.
We praise God and we thank God for what he said today and what he's spoken. We pray that his will be done in all of our lives.
Yes, Lord.
And that we can experience the glory of God on a whole new level.
Yes,
amen. Amen. Anybody really looking for God to bust a move in your world? Right? He really does want to. See, God really wants to elevate you and take you into higher places.
Amen.
But sometimes you got to deal with the prerequisites of certain things. He says God gives favor to the humble. Yes. Sometimes there's some things that's going to connect with you
because you just decided to line up with him.
Yeah.
Amen. You spend your days fighting him. You just kind of put yourself at odds with God. I don't think that's a favorable place to be for real. I'm an enemy of God because I won't do what God say. But he loved you too.
Amen.
I know ain't nobody in here like that, but in case y'all run and meet somebody on the street, you tell them the pastor Si was saying that. Amen. Just tell them, Lord, make my doing match my knowing.